Let's welcome back the Hong Kong visa geezer, Steve Barnes. How are you?
Hello, Phil. I'm all good as usual.
Excellent. Ready for a font of information. We talk every now and again about any of your visa qualms and queries, however silly you think they may be. You know, he's been asked these 1,000 times, but you're still happy to answer, aren't you?
Yeah, look, there are certain themes that run writ large throughout the Hong Kong immigration process, and everybody has got some experience that's similar. So these, as I say, these topics just keep coming back and back over and over again.
Yeah, it's like the gynecologist. Everybody thinks that their problem is the only person in the world. It's like, no worries, I can take gloves.
No one's ever described me as being akin to a gynecologist before.
I think you'll find they probably have. But anyway, here's the deal. Here's the deal. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you can probably only generalize on this one. We've heard issues recently in the news pertaining to domestic helpers' future, political stuff, etc., etc. What do you think, or what do you know, is the general future for the visa status of domestic helpers here at the moment? Isn't it 2 years and go away and change?
Well, that's right. Let's remember that the domestic helper visa is designed to facilitate the ability for people here to bring foreign nationals to provide foreign domestic helper services in very limited terms. Mm. And the idea is that, you know, the government don't want to upset the social demographic of Hong Kong by having these temporary workers, in a sense, put down roots and perhaps change the fabric of society.
Mainlanders for that.
Well, I mean, that's another topic.
Yeah, again, I'm kidding.
But in terms of the foreign domestic helpers, so they come for basically 2-year contracts and then they're expected to leave. And they provide undoubtedly, you know, a good social service to working families in Hong Kong. I mean, life for most people involves having the services of foreign domestic helper available to you. So the immigration department will always balance the need to have these abilities in Hong Kong with the social impact that these foreign nationals as a group might make if they were here for the long haul.
I'm sure you've been to conferences and you have chats with your peers and colleagues. It's just interesting stuff. Is it generally considered that this status is kind of, could be better? Is it, it's ideal you're talking about for a specific job? I mean, you watch TV and listen to the radio. You know, there's a lot of sort of disquiet about this issue. I'm wondering if there's a feeling if it could be made easier.
I think, frankly, the immigration department have got it right.
I'm not interested in the immigration department. Yeah. I'm interested in you.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I think it's right. I think the way that it's configured, because you've got to have some kind of control over large numbers of foreign workers like this. And the way that you do it is to say you're allowed to come. You're going to be doing these domestic duties. You're going to be living in the premises of the family that are employing you.
Yeah.
The terms and conditions of your employment are standard for everybody. They're always the same in Hong Kong.
Buyer beware.
And you can come for 2 years, and you know what? We're prepared to let you, you know, extend after 2 years, and we're prepared to accommodate any changes, unfortunate change in your circumstances during that 2-year contract. You lose your job, and you know, you might have to seek another employer. We're not going to force you to go back to your home country and start all over again.
Yeah.
We will look at your situation, and we will consider a change of employer for you within normal policy criteria.
I'll tell you where
it works, Phil.
I'll tell you where it does become more into your bag, which is where a domestic helper might get into a relationship proper, you know, no dodginess. Yeah.
Yep.
I've got a girlfriend, she's Indonesian, can she stay? And I'm sure you get asked that.
I got asked on the blog earlier this week, in actual fact. In those circumstances, the foreign domestic helper who's stopped working for their employer, at the point of them leaving their employment, they get automatically just a 2-week limit of stay as a visitor to remain here.
Right.
And at the end of those 2 weeks, they have to leave.
Yep.
Can you then take the fact of a relationship with a resident in Hong Kong, a romantic relationship with a resident in Hong Kong, as some sort of mechanism to allow you to remain after those 2 weeks?
No, you're going to say no, aren't you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, this, Steve, because, I mean, a lot of the stuff I'm asking you today, you don't have a crystal ball, you can only give your opinion on certain things, but, I mean, it has been alleged in the past that they will take a look at it. Oh, she's an Indonesian, she's an ex-helper, forget about it. Now, I know you're a supporter of these guys, but whether their actions are racist or not, you cannot answer at this moment, can you?
No, not really.
Let's say we'd like to think not.
I don't believe that there's any racism. It's just the application of policy to a particular set of nationals who just tend to fulfill that particular role in society. That's the way it works.
Yeah. So I suppose we get into the realm of, okay, somebody falls in love with somebody from wherever, which happens. I want to marry them.
Yeah, well,
does that change
things? If you're in a loving, committed relationship and the relationship is genuine and it's not being done for nefarious purposes, i.e.
We're talking legit now.
Right, that's right. As long as it's legit. Yeah, the immigration department will look at that relationship and they'll look at the sponsorship arrangements behind that relationship. They'll look to see that there's a legal marriage, and if it's all tickety-boo, then you've got a very, very high expectation, reasonably, that you'll be able to get the dependent visa.
And they don't ask sniffy questions just because she's been a DH.
No, not at all, not at all.
All right, I'll tell you what, at this point, I'd be interested if any, of course, if you've got any questions for Steve about anything, drop me a line, morningbrew@rthk.hk. I'd also be interested if you've been in this situation. I don't need to read your name out on air, just to see what experiences you've had. What Stephen is saying is all well and good, but I'm wondering what the reality might be, because everybody has a story, don't they?
Yeah, well, and that's right, and that's one of the most fascinating things about immigration, is because everybody, in fact, does have a story, and typically those stories come with a significant amount of, you know, emotional, not baggage, but they're very highly charged because of the fact that people's lives are in play. So whenever you find yourself with a sort of an immigration gun to your head, as it were, because the clock is ticking and you're about to leave your normal stable life in Hong Kong because of immigration purposes, it can get quite disquieting.
I was reading through your Visa Geezer website, and an interesting thing caught my attention. Every now and again, some people think that something exists and it doesn't, and somebody wrote to you about a so-called job seeking visa. We hope these things exist, but
No, that's right. Yeah, I got asked the other day if there was such an animal as a job seeker's visa. The idea Well, the idea being that somehow there's a specific immigration stage that allows you to come to Hong Kong. It allows you to run around interviewing for jobs.
Well, you can as a tourist.
Well, that's right. Yeah, as a visitor, it's permitted activity to look for employment, to interview for employment. It's not permitted activity to join in or take up any employment.
Yeah.
So there's no such job seeker's visa per se, but it's really kind of a misconstruction, if you will, of the permissions that you're enabled with once you come here as a visitor.
What do you think he would have based that question on? Is that something that happens in other countries?
No, visa gossip and rumours. It's just one of those things. Everyone in Hong Kong has got some kind of immigration story, and it's like, you know, the Chinese whispers.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I think the good news is it means people want to be here, and they're just trying to invent things to make it happen. It's still, the rules are hard and fast, unfortunately. Are there any areas that are coming up time and time again where professionals and punters alike are saying, gosh, we'd really like to see that changed?
Yeah, there's a lot of disquiet, I'd say, about what's actually required to pass the investment visa approvability test. I think the Immigration Department could give more clear sort of indications as to, for example, how much cash is going to cut the mustard if you're going to apply for this visa. What's the time frames for the creation of local employment opportunities? So what should business plans look like? What should they anticipate? So that, you know, this substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong test as a whole can be a little bit more objectively assessed. I think there's been questions that I get asked over and over again by clients that are considering the business investment visa. It's usually around those sort of questions that the focus of the discussion sits on, because it isn't easy to understand what the Immigration Department are actually looking for.
Well,
only through experience that you have a sense of
take it right down for
work.
Me, Steve. What would you be investment visa? What sort of things are you looking
at? Well, you've got there are certain themes, right, that are present in every approved investment visa. You've got to have the potential for the creation of local employment opportunities. You've got to have business premises that are suitable for the contingencies of the business that you find yourself in at the time that you're making your application. And you need to have resources split into sort of two categories. There's cash and financial resources that can be deployed into the business to ensure that it's properly financed. And also all the other resources that would exist in the scenario that's driving a particular foreign national entrepreneur to make an application for that visa in the first place, such as, you know, clients in hand, IP that's going to be used here that's for the first time that's been used elsewhere and has proven successful.
Yeah.
Just all the good stuff that says, hey, I've got a business idea and I think I can make it work, and these are all the good things that are going on that make me believe I will be successful. All those types of resources are considered by the department.
So these are typically somebody who might have been working for a company here and they're on a work visa, and then some great opportunity comes their way. So they're not people from outside, are they?
No, it's 50% of the investment visas that we do are existing residents presently working for a third-party employer in Hong Kong that they've smelled the Hong Kong entrepreneurial air and they've decided, I don't want to work for anybody else in the future. I want to do this for myself. Good old Hong Kong style. Those types of residents. That's about 50% of our work. The other 50% will be fresh off the boat visitors that don't know really how Hong Kong really operates
yet. That's quite tough,
isn't it? Yeah, I mean, the Immigration Department do afford a certain amount of kudos or credit, if you will, to existing residents that are making applications for investment visas because they know, or the assumption is that they know how the town works.
Yeah.
If you're fresh off the boat visitor, then conceptually you don't know how the town works. So, you know, the Immigration Department, I feel, a little bit more circumspect in terms of, you know, looking at those applications and the representations and the information, saying, well, do we honestly believe, all things considered, this will result in a solidly entrenched commercial enterprise? And if they can conclude that it does, then you get your investment visa.
Yeah. Is there a particular area that you've noticed where your clients tend to work in? You know, they say the age of entrepreneurial spirit in Hong Kong is over. That's an oft-discussed topic. But I wonder if there's a particular, is it trading? Is it,
no.
I don't know.
No, it's every area of activity you could possibly consider. I mean, if I think about some of the stuff that's gone in our practice in the last, well, since I saw you last, professional videographer, who else have we got? Very, very senior multinational retail executive going into consulting, restaurateurs.
So it's wide.
Yeah, technology development, startup apps, software. It's the entire gamut of economic activity.
Is apps and software still considered very desirable? I should imagine back to the year 2000 when everybody was going internet startup nuts.
Well, the Immigration Department have got this, the Hong Kong government have got this fantastic facility called Cyberport that nobody uses. So
it's all right down there.
Yeah, it's good. It's actually not bad. There's 250 startups in there now. It's really coming along. It's grown quite a pair of legs. But yeah, I mean, anything that's sort of sexy and is technology related, that's all good stuff because that's our future at the end of the day.
That's quite interesting,
so
Steve.
You can
because
plug them into Cyberport.
Yeah, when Cyberport started, nothing happened. You can hear the clock going tick.
99, right?
Yeah, and then there's lots of criticism, and everybody goes down there, oh, I don't know what the hoo-ha's about. It's really nice down here. Do you think sometimes the thing they don't figure into these kind of things, public opinion, doesn't figure in time release, i.e. it may not be cooking right now.
Yeah.
Gently, slowly, 5-6 years' time, then have a look
at it. Oh, without a doubt. And if, you know, anybody that knows anything about real estate in this town knows that Cyberport is going to be a massive success in due course. Just time has to march on, right? Have you had a look at the facilities in Cyberport? They're really very good, actually.
Some.
Have you seen the blue room there? I don't know if you know this, and I was surprised too.
What's that all about?
But they've got a fully fledged blue room that's set up to produce international television programs, and they've got all the lines and lines of mixers and all the kind of tech that's really really sexy. No, it's not gadget. Beyond gadget, this is like RTHK type quality. Really, really good stuff. But I've never seen anybody in there, unfortunately.
No, I won't go there.
Yeah.
There's all this technology, it's fantastic, and it's RTHK quality.
Ah, I see, right.
Moving swiftly on. Anyway, so we've covered pretty much all the things I wanted to get into today. Have a look at Steve's website, Hong Kong Visa Geezer. The domestic helper thing was quite interesting. I mean, that does come back and back and back all the time. And it must be quite frustrating for you sometimes to say, well, look, I want to help you, but these is the rules.
And we don't take on foreign domestic helper visa work because it's fraught with emotions. There's no real value in it for us. We don't have any value to add. It's pure administration at the end of the day.
And it's actually special. Well, it's not to them, Steve. It's their lives.
The girls know how to do it. They know how to do it better than anybody else, better than I ever would do. So I've never developed an expertise.
Good for you. Let's wrap up with a little email here from Claire. She says, situations where family located dependent visa but have children, 18 or over, stuck without a visa.
If they're dependent children and full-time education, then they should be able to get dependent visas.
Just a bit more paperwork.
Yeah.
Steve Barnes is the Hong Kong Visa Geezer. Thanks for your time, mate.